Merry Christmas, and I pray that all is well with you. Circumstances may not be all you want them to be right now or what have you, but it can be all is well in the soul of mankind. How can it be? How can it be in peace and in a divided world and all that we have to put up with, it seems like, in this world? How can it be? Where's the peace at in the chaos? The peace is in Jesus Christ Himself, period. That's the message today. You want me to pray and let's just go home or what? Huh? Well, you're going to have to stick with me just a little bit longer. Peace comes in and through and of Jesus Christ our Lord. There's no other place you're going to find it. There's no other place to get the true peace. So peace in a divided world, in a broken world. You say, well, it's hard to find sometimes. I love the songs about peace. I love the scripture about peace, but sometimes it seems like it's hard to find. If I look at the news or I think about social things or I think even about my personal life, sometimes my mind won't even be still. How can there be peace? And again, I'll tell you, it comes through Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the only true peace you're going to find. What do you think about when you hear the word peace? Well, you might think about a song. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. You might think, well, how about that old one, sleep and what? Heavenly peace. You might think of things like that. Young mothers with a house full of kids and an ornery husband. Sometimes they say things like, all I want is a minute of peace and quiet. I just want to be quiet. Peace and quiet. Well, about 20 years, maybe you'll get it. How about words like this when you think of peace? They might not come to mind as easily. How about words like wholeness? How about words like oneness, unity, completeness, the good news? Don't always come to mind first thing when you think about the word peace. But yet, it's exactly what the Bible says it is. And Paul points that out, and he writes this letter to the Ephesians. That's what we call it and look at it, Ephesians. And he said, listen, this first century congregation in Asia, I want to express this to you. He had been through there and planted a bunch of these churches anyway, so he had an investment. He wanted them to grow spiritually. And he says, I want to tell you folks about how Jesus influences this peace thing through salvation. That's the only way that you're going to get it. And he goes on to tell us about that, and he talks about the peace and how our souls long for peace, and we know that we do. Harmony, you like that word, tranquility, peace, the calm of our mind. You know, there's study after study talking about how stressed out Americans are, most stressed out nation in the face of the earth. Why is that? Well, I don't have time to tell you. We might talk about it sometime later. But there's all kinds of reasons, and we're looking for peace. Look at the slide, the next slide. Christian peace has always been something independent of outward circumstances. You read the Bible. You've read it for years, many of you, and you know that there's not always perfect circumstances. So Christian peace, the real peace, the real deal, is Christian peace, has always been something independent of outward circumstances. Circumstances come and go, highs and lows of life, but if you really want peace that passes all understanding, it comes in none other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Look with me at Ephesians 2 on the screen. It says, for He Himself is our peace. Again, we could stop right here, just about. For He Himself is our peace. If you want peace, you got to see Jesus. You got to get it from Jesus. You got to grow intimately in a relationship with Jesus Christ the Lord if you want true peace. Period. That's it. You say, okay, we're ready to go. Who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Sense of completeness. A sense of oneness. That's the kind of peace he's talking about. And no matter how we want to identify peace with, say, absence of war, well, then we'd have peace. Well, according to Scripture, the Bible never says that life would be without trials. It never puts it that way. The absence of trouble or hardship or distress, it says no matter what's going on outside, that inside the soul of man, you can have peace. And it's through Jesus Christ the Lord. Peace, functioning together. You know, when you and your wife are in harmony and peace is there, isn't it a good time? You know, when you're not, just shake your head. You know, he's laughing back to somebody. You know the difference. Peace. We all need it. We all want it. Ephesians 2:14 on the screen. Again, just that first part. For he himself is our peace. We're searching for peace in America. We're searching for peace all through the world in all the wrong places. If we want true peace, it comes through Jesus. He is the one who brings us peace, who made the two one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. We need peace. Abraham Lincoln, back in 1860, going way back, his goal for the states was for everybody to join up, to be one United States, a group of oneness. His goal was unity. People didn't want it. They wanted to be divided. They wanted to do what they wanted to do, build up a dividing wall. And he knew there'd never be peace until they joined as one, the United States of America. Well, Paul says the same thing in a different way. He said, listen, I'm talking about this dividing wall here between the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers. I want you to become one. I want there to be one family. I want them to have one God and one hope. And that's what Jesus brings to us, to get in line with him. Look with me in Isaiah 53:6. We all, that's all of us, like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. That means you, that means me, that means everybody on the face of the earth. We know what sin is. We've all gone astray. And part of that wall that divides people still today is that, well, this nationality, the rich, the poor, all these dividing walls, God said, listen, I want all that to go away. I want you to be one. You can be one through Jesus Christ the Lord. He saves all colors. He saves rich and poor. He says, I want us to be one. And we think, well, this group over here needs saving more than I do. Amen? That bunch over in here, boy. Y'all sure need saving worse than I do. God forbid that we think that way. We all have gone astray. Every single one. And we all need to be saved. Well, that group, they do this and they stand for that. And we know sin's sin. God's not trying to sugarcoat anything. He never has. He never will. What God calls sin, sin. But that group, they need saving worse than I do. No, they don't. We all need to be saved. Each one of us needs what Jesus brings to us. And we get it through His salvation. Ephesians 4:3 on the screen. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's good for churches. They're fighting all the time over this or over that. The devil gets in the battlefield of the mind that we're studying on Wednesdays. If you don't have anything else to do, or if you do have something else to do, you got Christmas Day off, you got New Year's Day off. The next Wednesday, won't you come join us? And we're talking about Joyce Meyer's book, The Battlefield of the Mind. And that devil will try to get in the mind of people in the church and everywhere else and try to divide, try to get us to believe lies. We're studying that. It's a good study. He says, you make every effort to keep that one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, above, through, and in all. God said, I got a great plan for humanity. Peace. Peace is a big part of that. And it comes through knowing. It was said in Sunday school so well. It comes through getting to the place that we know God's in control and I don't have to be. How many control freaks do we have here? Some people are honest even on Sunday morning. I've been called that before. I didn't appreciate it. If we can get to the place that we know God's in control and we trust Him, we know He does all things well, and we can rely upon Him that He knows what He's doing. God knows better than we do. He loves more than we do. Well, He couldn't love my wife any. Oh, yeah, He does. He couldn't love my kids more. Yes, He does. Well, I know He couldn't love Cannon more than I do, that first grandchild. Little rat. Yes, He does. Let me tell you a free story. This little munchkin about that high from here, he was in the living room the other day and he looked at me and he said, "Uh-guh." That meant go. Uh-guh. And I said, "Boy, I'll put it not." No. And he said, "Juju, here she comes." And he points to the living room floor. "Juju, sit here." Well, I walk over there to sit down on the floor. You know what he says? "Uh-guh." Forcefully. "Uh-guh." Snarls that nose up. And Juju. Right here. Well, what'd Juju do? Sit right down on the floor and started playing. So here I come again. Uh-guh. Now, what's that got to do with this sermon? Not much, but I thought you might enjoy it. Well, where was I? The only little munchkin that put me out of my living room about that high. God loves that little fella more than I do. You believe that? He truly does. Well, how do you know? Well, I would give my life for him. If there's a rattlesnake going to bite one of us, I'm going to jump in front of him. You'd do the same. Well, God says, that little guy that says, "Uh-guh," I died for him. I was born for him. You're talking about wanting Cannon to have hope and joy and love and peace. Guess what, old grandpa? You ain't got nothing on me. I'm God. I created him in his mother's womb. And I want him to have a great life. I want him to succeed the biblical way more than the world's way. And I love him more than you do. Are you sure, God? Yes. How you know? Because I came. What have we been celebrating? Manger, God's own Son, the divine coming, God with us, Emmanuel, in human flesh. The greatest story that's ever been told. And grew up, and we read about the miracles he performed. And then at the right time, the perfect time, he died on the cross of Calvary. And he said, I'll prove to you I love you more. I love you more. I'll take all the sin, all the filth, all the unrighteousness, I will take it upon myself to the point that I'll cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'll take that on myself so you can go free. You tell me a story better than that. You tell me a truth that deserves more attention than that. The Savior, God knows better for our world and our families. He became human and walked on this earth. The next slide says, peace is not getting rid of something. It's accepting someone as king of our lives. It's not, I got to get rid of this to have peace. It's accepting Jesus Christ as our king. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the Savior of the world. And when I accept him, his love, his hope, his joy, his peace comes to me, and I must trust him that he knows what he's doing. Well, how about the culture? You know about it. What about the political scene? What about wars and countries and on we go? Yes, it happens. We understand it happens. What about our physical bodies when disease comes? What about our emotional selves? What about all that? There's peace to be had in every situation that comes through Jesus Christ the Lord. And that's where the peace is. And if you want it, for he himself is our what? Peace. For he himself is our peace. My relationship with him, it brings me the peace. If in war or in quote peace. If well and healthy or in cancer-diseased bodies, the peace that passes all understanding is still mine through Jesus Christ our Lord. Peace is not an understanding that the world is all right, but a conviction that the world is in God's hands. I'll say that again. Peace is not an understanding that the world is all right, because if we look around, we know the world's not all right. But a conviction that the world is in God's hands, and I'm in God's hands. And if you're saved through his blood, you're in his hands. The next slide says, peace comes through the presence of Christ. Where's the peace come from? And you shall bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. That's what the angel told Mary. Sin does the separating. Next slide. Christ is our peace. We know it, but we must live it. We must live it out. William Barclay says that without Christ, there's nothing but disunity and disharmony in nature and humanity and eternity and time between. Without God, there is no peace. Martin Luther King said, peace is not the absence of tension, but the presence of justice. He shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Peace, we all want it. Peace is not an argument or a practice or this set of rules or what we eat or how we vote or even how we worship. By his flesh, we are one through Jesus. Look with me at Luke 2. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, here it is, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." The good news is the peace of Almighty God. Not because we did anything to deserve it, but because what Christ has done for us. So here we are. A lot of folks are traveling. They're gone. Some of you came this way to be with us. We appreciate having everybody that's here. So now, here's the question. Do I have the peace of the Lord in my heart today? I can sing Silent Night. I can listen to Oh Holy Night. Wow. If that was not beautiful, I'm telling you. All of it's been good. And I can get up and walk out the door and not have peace. So my question to all of us, are you tired of the chaos and the confusion? Are you tired of things that's just not right? You got to take his peace. Well, if I'd only done this differently, I wouldn't be in this mess. That may be a true statement. Might be a false statement. But would you trade the chaos for his peace? You feel at war within yourself sometimes about this or that or the other. Would you take his peace? He came for it. He died for it, that we could have his peace. He didn't come just to make us rich or famous. He come quietly, talked to the shepherds first, those low-life folks of what society said then. The angels appeared to them first. I'm simply saying to you in closing, for he himself is our peace.